Blog Talk Radio.
What do you go home?
Welcome to Mystic Records Radio, Party or Go Home. Well, you know, today is the first rainy day we've had in over a week, and Northern California sure does need it. And, what would you like to hear today? Why don't you give me a call in the studio and make a request? You can reach me at area code 646-478-3594. And you can whine and have all your say-so. Just give me a call. Here we go.
I try to tell you what to do, you don't listen anyway. I'm tired of you winning, I'm tired of you crying. That's all you ever seem to fucking do. Boo, hoo, hoo. This is all I ever motherfucking hear from you.
Away for the punk rock food drive, and this is going to be a lot of fun, and it's a great way to start off your new year. And you can find your tickets at goldstar.com. and let me see, oh well, you know, all these stupid advertisements are blocking the information on it. All right. Well, anyway, you can also go to the Infirmities website, and they're selling tickets to this punk rock food drive, and Naked Aggression will be there, Narcoleptic Youth, Infirmities, Chemical X, and I can't read the name, the lettering's too fancy, of the other band. And Reagan Youth and JFA are also going to be there. Maybe it says Corrupted Youth. I've heard of them before. Okay, so I think it's time for another song. I think we need a party.
Give me some sauce tonight.
Okay, that was ill repute. They're going to get themselves some sauce tonight. You know, watching the news this morning, I couldn't help but laugh because some idiot tried to rob this guy on the street, and it turned out he was a professional boxer. So we know what happened at the end of that story for kids.
Be the lucky one who will fit the deadly one who will die on their knees by the hand of Mr. Freeze, who will see when the rest are blind, who will remain frozen in time, who will flee underground once the blanket scorches the ground, who will die on their knees by the hand of Mr. Freeze. Horror waits for those who remain. Ice cold blood drops in their veins. Arm yourself to the teeth. Recall the threat of Mr. Freeze. See the blood drops in your eyes. See your family burned alive.
Like the expression I learned from the movie Forrest Gump, stupid is what stupid does. Check this out. When a Florida man walked into a Walgreens pharmacy, he attempted to steal prescription drugs from the pharmacist on duty. He probably didn't plan on getting knocked out during the attempted robbery, but that's exactly what happened when the pharmacist's boyfriend, who was a boxer, just happened to be visiting her at work. Oh, man. Okay, I got another call, so I'm going to put on a song for you, False Confession.
Let's get a voice in. Let's
Well, that was the one and only false confession. All right, well, I had a call from Kathy. She used to work at the Cafe de Grand, same time I did back in the 80s. And we've been friends all these years. Isn't that cool? We were the only two girls working there. Pretty quick. All right, so let me see, where are we at? Okay, so it looks like we're joined in the studio with Kathy, my former co-worker at the Cafe de Grand. And hey, Kathy, how's it going today? Got any punk rock stories to share?
Well, I was just thinking about a few heavy metal stories.
Heavy metal, hey gads, we're going to mute her. No. Only unless this is a punk rock show.
Good one.
I know
not really
that when
stories,
the cat.
Yeah, they're not really stories about the music. It's just what things that happened. They're character stories.
Okay.
The stories. Okay.
You got one.
Well,
do you have one
okay.
about Chris Holmes or Blackie Lawless from what was that band, Wasp? They used to come in the cafe.
No.
And Chris, one time, he was the blonde-haired lead guitarist. He was sitting at the bar at the cafe, and he pulls up the sleeve of his shirt, and he's showing off his tattoos, you know? And he said, "Don't you know who I am?" And I looked at him with his long hair. I mean, him and I, the three of us, you, me, and Chris, when David Lee Roth came in, we were the only people with long hair in the entire club. So I was honest with him. I said, no, I'm sorry, I haven't, you know, because the Troubadour and the Roxy and all those places were all the heavy metal hair bands, you know. And he had this big white limousine that in front, you know, thought he was going to impress the punk rock girls. Not. So he says, he asked me, I don't know who you are, I tell him. Wait, let me finish. I tell him, no, I don't know who you are. And he goes, I play in the band Wasp. And he wrote, he points to tattoos on his forearm from wrist to elbow, and he's got all these Klansmen tattooed. And he asked me out on a date, and he says, that's my limo parked out front. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm working here, and I have to go make sure the bands are coming up on stage. So if your band ever wants to play here, I told him, get a hold of me here. I never seen him again until the we were hanging out with the guys at Ronnie James Dio's studio, and they came in there, and he stuck his nose up in there and walked right by me because it's like, oh, the girl who turned me down.
Oh, well.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Okay. I was like a misfit working at the Troubadour, except that the owner was Armenian.
And, oh, I remember him, that little short guy.
Just so they wouldn't mistake me for one of their girls, I always dressed like rockabilly, you know, with my cowboy shirt and my cowboy boots. I looked nothing like one of their women, you know, because they totally disrespected their women. They treated their women like shit, right? So this was over the top. And so one day I'm trying to clear the club out, right, because the owner wants everybody up in the front bar and to get the back part cleaned up. So we're like, I'm walking down the stairs, and some dude with black hair comes, you know, walking up the stairs, and I said, I'm sorry, we got to clear the bar out. I need you to go to the front. And he says, out of my way, bitch. And he, like goes to shove me aside. And I put my hand on his chest, and I just lightly shoved him, you know, and said, I'm not one of your bitches. And he went flying backwards, right, because he was coming up the stairs. It was only, like, two steps up, right? And he straight on his ass. You know, with his feet up in the air. It was hilarious. And he stormed off to go and complain to the manager, right? And
they're not going to get anywhere there.
No. The manager said, I mean, the owner, you know, he liked me because I was Armenian. He said, when he hired me, he said, oh, nice Armenian girl. You won't be fucking guys in the back room. You're hired
because you're not a slut.
Exactly. So, and I applied for the job exactly like I dressed, rockabilly. You know, that's how I always dressed that way at the punk club too. You know, or cowpunk or whatever you want to call it. So
the beginning days of cowpunk with screaming sirens and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rank and file.
So he storms off to complain to the owner. Meanwhile, people are going, do you know who that was? Do you know who that was? I said, that was an asshole. It was an asshole. I don't care who he was. That was a guy from Rat. And I was like, so, you know? And I guess they were famous by then, right? And Poison was like at the top of the list of people that played, you know, the troupe.
Oh,
they were still playing the troupe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were nice guys. They were actually nice guys.
Bullshit.
I liked them.
You know what? Me and Marco and Georgia went to one of their parties. We were leaving the cafe, and they came over and invited us to Brett Michaels' crappy little apartment where he had this party. And I'm telling you, the place was disgusting when we first walked in. And if you weren't a slut and ready to go to action, he didn't want anybody there. It was a Halloween party. And, you know, we were dressed
really?
To the T. Yeah, I was dressed in that costume I wore when I danced in that video for Tainted Love. It's a cheetah outfit.
I should
outfit.
Finish my other story.
Oh, anyway, I wanted
story.
To tell you, no, you're not going to say Bret Michaels and the Poison guys are nice guys because they're a bunch of fucking
okay,
assholes.
Okay, they were nice to me. Let's just
okay,
say
good,
they were nice to the waitress. Okay,
yeah.
They were nice to all the workers at the, you know, and when they had a party over at the Tropicana, there'd be the bedroom, like, and the main room, right? And everybody would go into the bedroom that were, like, and there was beer in there and shit and drugs. And in the outer room, there wasn't anything, you know? So
yeah,
all the employees,
the
all the employees would be in the back room partying with the band, you know? So, anyway, they were nice to me. But in contrast to the singer from Rat, I think it was a singer, I'm not sure. Anyway, he goes to complain to the owner, Eddie, and Eddie says, what did you do to my waitress? And he says, I know you did something to my waitress because she doesn't act that way. She's nice.
Right.
He said you're gonna have to leave my club, and he kicked him out.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you know, back then they really thought
that's
they
a
were
rare thing
shit.
To have someone back. They backed all their waitresses up there. All you had to do is look
yeah,
at
Eddie
one of the
cool.
bouncers and point to somebody, and they were gone. You know. Yeah, he
yeah.
was cool to me. He loaned me money for an apartment once. He was mad when I quit. You know,
aww.
I think I quit to
well,
go work
he,
at Rogers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mad. He thought I was ungrateful, but I was grateful. He was a good guy to me, you know. And,
he was a good guy to me, too.
Yeah, it just wasn't my, you know, I mean, the music wasn't my style, and I really hated it, you know. Here, you
right.
know, it was really, I mean, I liked working for him, but I didn't like the music, so... You know, I wanted to go work at Rodney's. They really did back their waitresses up there, though. It was very rare at all.
Well, yeah,
you know?
he was a great guy. I had a few occasions to go in the Troubadour. And, you know, Spike, our bouncer from the cafe, went over there, too, after we closed and he was working there, I think. Wasn't he working there the same time as you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
for
there
sure.
Was, there was a guy working there. I don't remember his name, but he was a Hollywood stuntman. That was his other job.
Oh,
and
cool.
And he was a bouncer there. Tall, blonde guy. Really
uh-huh.
nice guy. And I really liked the bartender, Sonny. Sonny was very memorable, as well as our bartender, Rick, at the cafe.
Yeah.
I worked with Rick. Yeah. He's who I really remember working with. You always ask me if I remember this band or that band, but, you know.
You were too busy giving people drinks to listen to the music.
Really, that was I was busy doing that and partying with, like, people that came to hear the music, up in the kitchen or, you know, I'd be partying in the back room and then walking through the club every few minutes and getting drink orders, you know.
Right.
I would go in a circle, like through the kitchen, down the back steps, through the club. Up the front steps, up to the bar,
the
drink order, back down to do the drinks, and then back up through the back way. It was like you could only get so many drink orders, you know, from there. And if I were down there all the time, I wouldn't get anything. So I would disappear for a little while, and people would be wondering where I am. I come back, they'd be, oh, waitress.
You mean Dobbs didn't have the beer going downstairs when you worked there? I thought he did.
Sometimes they did.
But when
sometimes
people just wanted a soda pop or a mixed drink, they had to get it from you upstairs.
Exactly. That's what I remember serving more is the mixed drinks there. Now, at Raji's, all he had was beer and wine. You know, they didn't have any.
Dobbs could never get a liquor license in there. That was the problem with that.
Why? Maybe because of the pimp bar that was there before. I don't know. But that's what somebody, Todd Jimmy told me it was a pimp bar, something like that. Anyway, yeah, Raji's was just, Raji's was beer and Budweiser and Coke and box wine occasionally, box wine.
That's all
and
you need, right?
So I would, instead of, and I didn't really sell that many Cokes, so instead of taking beer orders, I would just load my tray up with beer.
Sure.
And sell it ballpark style, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Why not?
Yeah, because I could only carry so many, you know?
Exactly.
But just bring them down, and I wouldn't have them opened. They were twist tops, you know? So I'd bring them down, and then I'd open them as people wanted them. I had scars on my index finger from opening those fucking bottles.
Now they got twist off.
That's what I had. I think they did have twist tops then.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the 80s. It wasn't the 60s, you know.
Well, I attended bar in the 70s, and I used to work
the
at the
70s, maybe.
Pub.
Well, it depends on if you had the, like, the short bottles. Like, Dobbs had the short bottles sometimes. He had the long necks, too, sometimes.
The long necks.
But
Yeah,
some of the long necks have twist tops, too. I remember twist and tops.
Yeah. I preferred being the bartender behind the bar rather than being a waitress.
I would have too.
Yeah.
They always hired me as waitress. They didn't hire me as bartender. There was already a bartender who was quite good at Raji's when I went there, and that was Amber.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Amber. So when Dobbs...
Well, go ahead.
When Dobbs was, you know, hiring, he was looking for a waitress, and I went down and saw him, and he hired me.
Of course he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just said, hey, you want a waitress? He says, you're hired, you know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hey, we have someone else who just joined us.
And who might that be, Candace?
Voice sounds
Gumby from Duct Tape Hostage.
Yay, Chris, how are you?
How are you, Candace?
I'm fine.
I'm hearing
the
Raji stories right now.
Yeah, we were talking about Raji's and Duct Tape Hostage. Wow, you know, I love your band and you know, you played at the clubs in Hollywood. Why don't you give us your best punk rock stories?
We weren't really around long enough to play at Raji's or the Cafe, but I remember they were right around the corner from each other. And I've seen a lot of great bands at Raji's, plenty of great bands. But honestly,
yeah.
The Cafe was my hangout, and I would go there probably 2, 3, 4 days a week. Sometimes if I could, we had enough gas money and enough money to buy a $4 case of Milwaukee's Best beer and sit out in front of the cafe. Hopefully, what was his name? Mike Brennan, huh? That ran the cafe or owned the cafe at that time?
He owned it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Michael Brennan.
And Raji's didn't open until the cafe was closed.
Around like 85 or something, huh? 85, 86, something like that. Raji's?
Something like that.
I think so, yeah.
But, yeah,
and
that day was my
I was on the tail end of the cafe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I went down with
the
ship, too. We all did. Anyway, what were you going to say, Chris?
you booked all the shows. I was sad to see that place go, though.
Well, you
yeah,
know,
well, then he
like...
opened it as the American Cafe or something like that for a while afterwards. He was trying to run it under a different name, but that didn't last long either.
Yeah. It's
but
still
he actually
there, actually.
Opened...
Though, I mean, it's not the cafe, but it is still there. It's standing. I don't know. It's some Asian restaurant or something. What is it?
Oh, it's beautiful inside. You should see it. They left it pretty much the same. I've seen current pictures of it with the bar down the front and the booth the way they were, you know, set up. And they took the stage out that I put up there. But it is so fancy, and it's absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous decor. And they do have bands that play there. No, punk rock, of course. But, I mean, the place is so beautiful. It's amazing what they did to our place that we used to trash. It's like $1,000 a table on New Year's Eve for the cafe now. They call it the Argyle.
Right. Wow.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, $1,000 these days. Back then, it'd buy you beers for a career at the cafe. You know what I mean? Unlimited beers, $1,000.
Sure.
Crazy. But, upstairs used to be where Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs played, and Carlos de Carlos. And weren't they all playing upstairs at that time on a residency, Candace?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
I remember
I made a second stage upstairs and got rid of the DJ in the booth because most of the weekdays were really slow and we barely could stay open. And I started El Duce's Cold Seat on Wednesday nights. And then for bands to play upstairs, people could hear it from outside instead of down in the basement. And they would come in hearing that, you know, the songs music that they wanted.
Yeah, I remember Bad Religion coming to play there. It was like a Tuesday night, and they were on a 1.5-year hiatus. I still have the flyer from it, but it says Bad Religion at the Cafe de Grand after 1.5 years. And like I said, it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
I knew one of the members of that band.
Yeah, there were hardly anybody showed up. I mean, this is Bad Religion, and there was like, I don't know, it was like 14 or 15 people there tops. I was so surprised at it, but it was cool to see them in a I'll never forget that show right there. It's such a small setting and just so few people, and just to be right there with Bad Religion. I mean, that was really cool.
But
there was
nice,
a lot of nights there. A lot of nights, like Ill Repute would play, and you see 5 or 10 people there. And on the weekends, it dropped pretty good. There'd be Friday night shows at the Olympic Auditorium. And then whoever played at the Olympic, let's say it was GBH or Exploited or whatever, on Friday night, they would play the Cafe de Grand on Saturday night. So then they would go maybe on Sunday night to the La Casa de la Raza in Santa Barbara, which were all Golden Voice places right there. It was Golden Voice booked at, and the same band would play there. So I tried to make all three shows if I could. But
yeah, and that was like
times.
Gary Tovar was running Golden Voice at that time. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah
and he was a
good
guy, too.
Age. You guys remember so much more than I do. How come I don't remember anything?
I don't know, but Video Lewis was filming the shows at the cafe and the Olympic Auditorium.
I remember that. You can still get
Stardust.
Most of his tape. He still has most of them. Periodically see him online. There'll be a Circle One show or Sin 34. He has so many obscure tapes of bands that you won't find any place else but except for Video Lewis.
Exactly. And I used to run around helping him lug heavy batteries and stuff because in those days we didn't have digital photography. It was film.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Video
Ed Culver.
Lewis has
Ed Culver a lot of those shows also, huh?
Oh yeah, Ed Culver, gosh, what a great photographer he still is, and he did the photo cover for that You Can't
Famous
Argue
Bands logo.
Success album with Roger Rogerson.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a photo, the album cover. We were just talking about it the other day. It's on Mystic. You Can't Argue with Success. And, yeah, those were the early days of punk rock. And
do you remember the Waters Club out in San Pedro? Does anybody remember that place?
No, I never went there. Never heard of it. I mean, I was so busy working 7 days a week, getting everybody lined up. Yeah, so tell me about the Waters Club.
It was just another little hole-in-the-wall spot down in San Pedro that, I mean, before D. Boone had passed away for the Minutemen. The Minutemen played there a lot, and all the SST bands played there a lot. Lawndale and Descendants played there, and Saccharine Trust.
Nice.
I remember Overkill had played there a lot. SW3. It was a lot of the southern scene, but there were bands from all over that played there. So it was a good venue for a minute.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I remember Mike Watt and the Minutemen. Last time I saw them play before D. Boone passed away was at the Cal Arts Festival in Valencia. And it was a Halloween party. And I was just dressed as myself. You know, I got my black leather pants on and my leather jacket and my spiked handcuff belt and all my bracelets that I used to make and things. And this little punker in a shorts and a T-shirt comes running up to me and slams into me. And he didn't realize that all my friends from LA Valley College were there. And we were all punking out at the cafe and stuff, right? I didn't know they were there. And all of a sudden, they seen me get knocked to the ground in front of the Minutemen stage, and they all came up, and about 20 of them made this big pit swirling around, and they kind of pulled that little guy along, and, yeah, he was sorry that he slammed me.
Yeah.
They had quite a show that night.
Yeah, what's funny is when the Minutemen were playing, I wasn't as much of a fan of the Minutemen as I am now, and I appreciate what they did and their music a lot more now than I did back then. They're great.
Oh,
man.
I loved them. I saw them at the Anti-Club. They did a show with Dwight Yoakam at the Anti-Club.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Everybody was just nuts about him when he came into town, because he had a lot of songs, good songs. He's a good songwriter, you know. So everybody's jaw was just dropped when they heard him. They were like, "Oh God,
I
this
can
guy
imagine.
Is great," you know. So yeah, he did nothing but Merle Haggard and George Jones songs all night, and he
really
had a bunch of people there with cowboy hats and guys with the mohawks, and it was just like, I wish I had had a camera, because it was just awesome, you know?
It was a good blending of the start of cowpunk.
You know, the bigger the hair, the closer to God. You ever heard that?
No.
I heard that one before.
I
remember
in Texas for a while.
I remember a time when Perkins Palace was having Golden Voice shows, and Gary had scheduled Alcatraz, which is a full-on heavy metal band. If I'm not mistaken, Yngwie Malmsteen was a guitar player of Alcatraz at that time. But they were the headliner, and then the Circle Jerks played underneath them. So you had full-on metal heads, and then the Circle Jerks opening up the show, and it was just a huge mixed crowd of people, and there was just a lot of fights broke out. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time, but I didn't even realize who Yngwie Malmsteen was at that time. He was kind of a little more less known. Yeah, and he turned out to be the virtuoso that he is. But I was glad that I had that chance to see him with Alcatraz back in the day. I really didn't like metal at all at that time, but Alcatraz kind of won me over. They were pretty decent, and Yngwie became a great guitar player.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kathy used to work at the Troubadour, and earlier she was telling stories about her run-ins with some of the guys from the hair bands back then, you know.
Yeah, the Troubadour put on a lot of good shows over the years. a mixture, a variety of different bands that play there.
When I was there, it was just like, well, there was like a Poison and Mansfield are the two bands that I remember that were on the top of the heap. But it was all just metal when I worked there.
Really?
You know?
Oh, yeah,
and,
pretty much.
Yeah. Poison was the only one that played there that had any variety to their songs, you know. It was all just, otherwise it was all just metal, you know. And
yeah.
I liked working for and with the people there, but I didn't like the music. So,
well, you know.
And they're still putting on shows today at the Troubadour. I mean, I've seen Good Riddance there. I don't know, it's probably a year ago, though, now, but that was a really good show. It packed in for Good Riddance there. And periodically, they throw decent shows there. I mean, as far as punk rock goes, but you catch a lot of alternative and a lot of different styles of music these days.
Well, you know, punk rock has so many genres to it. I mean, there's so many different forms of punk rock. I mean, it's amazing, you know.
I know we spawned emo, probably crossover, possibly death metal came from punk rock. Who knows? There's a lot of derivatives of punk rock these days.
Yeah,
that became their
true.
Whole own genres. They're not even related to punk rock anymore. Emo came from punk. The Rites of Spring and Fugazi and bands like that created the whole emo scene before there was an emo scene.
I remember the Angry Samoans Metal Mike making a comment in one of my videos I did of them at the Vault, the 360 in Long Beach.
Yeah,
I don't know. He makes a funny joke about emos back then, and that was, I don't know, 2005 or 6. Man.
Yeah, that was a good venue there too in Long Beach. Vault 360. Too bad that place isn't around. Yeah, yeah.
That place was awesome.
I
love the fact that the photographers were able to go to the upstairs area where the sound guy was. And, you know, back in then, I didn't have digital equipment, and I was able to plug in my battery packs right there and take stills, shots while my video camera was charging. And then when I ran out of video charge, you know, I could go switch back and forth, and you have a perfect shot of the stage from there. And that place held a lot of people, and they had a good merchandise booth and everything. It was an old bank, I guess, at one time. That's why they called it the Vault.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that before.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Last time I went there, I filmed Smut Peddlers, Social Task, Angry Samoans, a couple other bands, but it was really fun. Well, you know, I hate to tell you this, Chris and Kathy, but we're down to our last 60 seconds of the show. You guys have anything else to say real quick? It's floor is
Bye.
Yours.
Yeah, good.
See you later, Kathy.
See ya.
Have a good day.
Bye.
All right.
Hey, listen to a lot of Duct Tape Hostage. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
And thanks for having me on.
Well, you come anytime. You're a good friend, and you're an artist on the label. And if people get a chance, I think my favorite Duct Tape Hostage song is Hippie Exterminator.
That's a favorite of mine, too, Candace.
Is it really? I just love that song. It is so cool.
Thank you.
Nice. All right. Well, we're going to end the show with a little Spam 69. All right. Talk to you later. Don't forget to party or go home. Oh, we're off the air. All right. Well, later. How come it won't work? There it goes.
Party or go home! Nicaraguan style!
One, two, three, four!
Controlling the masses.
One, two, three, four.
That was the one and only Swab with Merrill on vocals and Chuck Tukowski performing their rendition of 100 Bottles of Beer. Anyhow, we're out of time, folks. I want to thank you both for coming on the show. And don't forget to party or go home.